Finding Rest and Peace in a Restless World, Part 6, The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 1007, as we're rolling on, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1304, since January the 1st, 2016. So we have not stopped, we're just taking a break. And by the grace of God, we'll continue on. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. The Holy Bible reads, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Finding rest and peace in a restless world. Part 6. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for a break, for some days off, to rest a while. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor to serve you for so long, which I don't deserve the privilege. And then, Lord, I thank you for the times you give me the liberty to take a break and to rest, and to not only rest, but to relax and to sleep and to lay down during the hours when I would normally be preaching, for this old body to renew itself, to replenish and to refresh itself by your grace. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you most of all for your mercy, love, and grace through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we serve, our soon coming King. We individually, Lord, confess our sins and our failures and faults. That just comes from our sinful nature and even from our choices. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, who are already believers, and forgive us of our sins. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all. Fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind our enemy the devil and his demons and his hosts. And Lord, the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic spirit of Judas, the satanic spirit of Sanballat and Tobias, that even, Lord, when we are taking a break, we'll try to hinder your work, Lord, from going forward. So, Lord, give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, afresh and again and anew tonight. Save those who are lost. Revive those, Lord, who are saved. And we pray that your holy name will be glorified in Jesus Christ exalted. Grant me fresh unction and anointing and the power, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, as it has been 3 days since I have preached. And I pray that you would fill me afresh and anew with the unction and the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit, for I am still weak and needy. My trust and my faith is in you. And Lord, we know that nothing worthwhile will take place until your power falls and without the power of your Holy Spirit. Glorify your holy name. Help us to do the same. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for bringing us a mighty long way. Thank you, Lord, for doing with us what only you could do. And Lord, you've done a lot with such wretches as we are. And we pray that you'll do it again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Ulrich Zwingli, one of the great reformers, said, "There is no true knowledge of God, nor quietness of mind, but only in Christ Jesus alone." Beloved, on last week we looked at verses 25 and 26 in this passage, which reads, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent," or those, and Jesus is referring to those who think they're wise and prudent, "and has revealed them unto babes." We saw that we have to approach Jesus with the humble, trusting hearts of children. Now we move on to verse 27, which reads, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And so, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if we'll get through it all tonight, but here are three things we can learn from this passage. First, all things have been committed to Jesus Christ by the Father. Now, this is very deep and far beyond us. So don't feel badly if you don't get it all tonight. Our passage reads, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." Delivered. Jesus is saying that God the Father has put him in charge of everything. He is the only one we can look to. a similar passage in Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Dr. John MacArthur said, regarding this passage and others, there are two things in that statement that indicate what that statement is meant to say. It is meant to say that Jesus Christ is God. Make no mistake about it. I told you this is deep. You're probably not going to get all of it. He goes on to say, it is a statement of his deity that Jesus Christ is God. It is a statement of the essence of the heart of the kingdom gospel that Jesus Christ is God, and that is the heart of our faith. That is why if any man denies that Christ is God in the flesh, he's accursed. He has violated the basis of the gospel. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The gospel begins with the fact that Jesus Christ is God. And that is said two ways in that phrase. The first way is by the phrase, my Father. Now, before you get on Jesus' case, the Jews got upset with that. You know, the prudent and the wise, the educated religious crowd, as soon as Jesus said anything about God being his Father, they went berserk. Because they understood that means that he is God. I am that I am. My Father. That is the first time in the New Testament that Jesus has ever said that. He has said, Father, and he has said, Our Father. He has never before said, My Father, until this point. And he is saying it in a way of uniqueness as God's only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You must believe in the Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, to be saved. That makes him God. So I am not far off when I say God died for us. See, this is what makes the gospel so amazing. Oh, yes. This blows people's minds. It blows the minds of the wise and the prudent in this world. It blows their minds. God loved us so much, he wrapped himself in human flesh, came off his throne, and died for your sins and mine. Now that's love for you. You will never see a greater show of love ever in your life or in the life of the universe. Ever. There's no love like that. That's love for you, Jack. The second statement is the statement, all things are delivered unto me. Everything, if you will, let me use the word delegated. Everything has been given over to me, has been delegated to me. What does all things mean? Well, in the Greek, all means all, and that's all means. All things are delivered, or at one point were handed over to him and were probably then taken back into a pre-existing time. See, this is what I try to tell you. This is deep. Goes way back. It's beyond us. If you want to ask God that question when you get to heaven, then you can do that. I'm just going to be happy to be there. And that is back into eternity. Sometime when all sovereignty was committed to the Son, and only God knows when and how that ever happened. Don't hurt your little head about it. It's God's business. It's God's will. He can do what he wants. It's not your world. See, that's the problem. We think it's our world. We didn't create nothing. Excuse the bad English. I know that's a double negative, but it sounds better. We didn't create nothing. God did. One of my favorite hymns is, "This is my Father's world." It's not your world. And see, the prudent and the wise, the educated in our world, the arrogant and the proud, they struggle. They struggle with this. That God is God, and he can do what he wants to do, and has done so. And he did not consult with you about it. See, we live in a world where we want to be consulted about everything. Well, my voice was not heard in the matter, so. Well, I didn't vote for that. We live in a world, a sick world, that loves to dialogue and get nothing done. We love to talk and share our feelings and our thoughts, which is meaningless in most cases. Meaningless. The job needs to be done. But we love to sit around and have our voices heard, even in families. What's wrong with some of your families today? You adopted the Cosby Show model, where everybody sits around on the couch and in the chairs and have a family meeting and they vote. You know. You don't get to vote in God's kingdom. No voting. No voting. There's no voting. Forget it. We're so arrogant and we're so proud. We think we have some say. We don't. Just trust Christ as Savior and be joyful and be happy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Dr. MacArthur said, and however that happens in eternity is beyond us. See, the wise and prudent, they can't stand statements like that. They want to say, well, scientifically, I believe in science. And scientifically, that's not possible. I don't believe in that. But the truly wise and humble people of God, we believe it. And we trust God with it. And we understand that we don't know everything, and we're not supposed to know everything. We couldn't handle it anyway. I told you the other day, the reason why God does not show you much is because you couldn't handle much. If God showed up right now, somebody said, God, please show yourself. God, please. If he showed up, you'd be dead. paralyzed and then dead. You couldn't handle it. You can't handle God's glory, man. So you can't handle all of the knowledge that God has. By the way, that cell phone you have in your hand, one of the things I love about cell phones is I can text my children can text me, and before I blink an eye, it's on their phone right there for them to read. You say, well, where does that come from? That's God. So didn't man create that? God gave them the ideas to create something like that. The knowledge of God, man, is too much for you. You will never be able to handle it. When you get on the other side, you might be able to handle it, but not until then. God, in His love and mercy, holds things back from us. We just couldn't handle it. It blew our minds. There are some things that God has revealed to people living on earth today. And God has given people the knowledge and understanding because they can handle it, but you cannot. There's things happening in this world that blow your mind. And it all comes from God. And how He doles out talent and ability and gifts. But the fact stands that all things are delivered to Jesus Christ. Jesus' declaration of the gift of absolute power assures us we can truly find rest and peace in Him. We can find rest and peace in knowing that He, Jesus Christ, is in total control. Do you know Him tonight as your Savior? Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins? Have you ever believed on Him? Have you ever trusted Him as your Savior? If you were to die tonight, where would you go? Heaven or hell? Dear friend, if you're with us tonight and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, in other words, you have not found rest and peace in your soul and spirit, and if you don't have rest and peace right now in your life, if you're troubled and worried and fretting, either you are a Christian in sin or you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have, from the Dalai Lama, from the Pope, from Joel Osteen on down, everybody has sinned against you. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all failed God. Everybody is in the same boat, red, yellow, black, and white. Yet we're still precious in His sight. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Everybody's body is going to go to a grave of some sort. because of sin. Our body will go to the grave, our soul will go to hell or heaven, depending on whether or not we believed on God, the Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. God died for you. That's love for you. That's love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on him. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell without believing on Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all of the prophets in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Yes, the meek and lowly one, the loving one, preached more on hell, I believe, than all of the preachers living today. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a place of fiery torment and punishment forever. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. And nobody said the good news better than Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ himself said, and he was speaking of himself when he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all you have to do, dear friend, is believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. This is a very serious matter. This is not a game. The devil will make you think it's a game. Your flesh will make you think it's a game, but this is a very serious matter. How soon can you die? Just think about Kobe. Just think about Kobe. One of the lessons of Kobe's life is that you can die at any moment. You can go to church in the morning, say your prayers, gather up your child for a wonderful fun day, and hit a mountain and be dead and burned to pieces and thrust out into eternity. I assure you, I guarantee you, nobody on that helicopter thought they were going to die that day. Nobody. They had big plans. Big games, big tournaments, big friendships, big dinners, more children to come, big birthdays, big celebrations, all met with a multiplied tragedy. One of the worst that we've seen in a long time. And people are dying like that every day. We just don't know them. They're not Kobe Bryant. Thousands are losing their lives in a plague-like disease. Called the coronavirus. All around the world, more are slated to die. And nobody's safe. So, dear friend, get your eternal life insurance policy signed by the blood of Jesus Christ today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Believe, dear friend, in your heart tonight. This is not a game. Your being here with me tonight is a divine appointment. And by the way, there are no accidents in God. Your days are numbered, and so are mine. So you need to get ready. You need to be ready when your number is called. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. When you believe on Christ, you're believing on God. You're trusting in God because he is God, as I explained to you earlier. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath to come. Saved from the eternal burning hell to come. That's what you're saved from. And there's many other things that come with that, but ultimately, you're saved from this eternal punishment to be with God and Jesus in heaven. They want you there. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's something turning in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, that's Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost of God calling you to be saved today. Don't dismiss it. This is your divine appointment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul. It is as simple as that. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God. Believe on him and pray and ask him to save you. Call on his name, and I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Let's do it right now, right where you are. I got saved in the Air Force dorm room 40 years ago. Can you remember a time you realized that you were a lost sinner on your way to hell, and then you prayed, then you believed on Jesus Christ and prayed and asked him to save you? If you can't, pray with me tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. It's all right. He's God. Follow me in prayer phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents. And I have taken your holy name in vain. Now, Lord, I've done this in your sight. And these are just five of your Ten Commandments that I have broken. I have committed many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe the best way that I know how on the Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us, the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including mine, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please save my soul. I receive you today. Come into my heart and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart tonight on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you believed on him in your heart tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
Why?